This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long handling everything behind the scenes. I want to tell everybody at 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our Bet 365 triple option feature. And at 6:30 tonight, right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app, the LSU Fighting Tiger baseball team will play the Southeastern Lions. And Charlie, man, the Lions have been impressive this season. We had Scott Sanders on with us yesterday talking about it. Scott keeps up with the Lions also. And, man, that's a couple teams, McNeese along with Southeastern. Lamar has been really good in the Southland Conference this year.
Yeah, Mike, it's going to be a multi-bid league. We'll see exactly which teams make it to the NCAA tournament and the regional play in baseball. I sent you earlier today that College Baseball Central released a bracketology a couple weeks away from the end of the regular season. And as of now, they have LSU as the 2 seed hosting a regional. And then if they win, they would host the super regional on the path to Omaha. The 2 seed in their regional is Southern Miss. And the 3 seed in their regional is Southeastern. So not just, you know, sneaking into the tournament as maybe a 4 seed in some regional. Right now, if the season ended today, College Baseball Central as Southeastern is a 3 seed, Mike.
Charlie, goes to show you, they got some good baseball players in the state of Louisiana and Mississippi. That's where, you know, the vast majority of these guys are from. And so, man, you're proud of that because, you know, we talk so much about all the football talent in the state of Louisiana. But, man, they got some baseball talent here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of a scouting report on Southeastern. We'll get a little bit more into them as the show goes along here, Mike. But 33-11 overall. That is impressive no matter which way you cut it. 18-6, though, in the Southland Conference. And the Southland, as we mentioned, is going to be a multi-bid league this year in college baseball. That's also fantastic. They're coming off 2-3 over Houston Christian this past weekend as a team that hit 300, so it was solid offense. But this is what's also impressive, a 3.31 team ERA, 351 strikeouts, and 375.2 innings pitched. And they hold opponents to a 219 batting average. So good hitting team, good pitching team. You can see why they're considered an at-large team right now.
Charlie, the numbers came out in the 2025 NFL draft. It's turned out to be the second most watched draft ever. And everywhere I go today, I hear it too. Man, I listen to y'all Thursday night and Friday, or I listen to y'all Saturday where I was traveling. Great interest in the draft, but the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay, they basically had an average audience of 7.5 million viewers across, you know, that ESPN, ABC, NFL Network type format for the 3-day event, making it the second most watched draft on record, only behind the 2020 draft. Okay, that was the COVID year. And that's up 27% from last year. Charlie, this wasn't a star-studded draft. It goes to show the interest in the NFL draft is huge. We could talk NFL draft from today all the way through to next year when the draft happens. There's so much interest in it for the college players entering the NFL. And like I said, I went to a couple places this morning, and there, people were coming up. Man, I enjoyed the coverage so much on WWL. The guys were great, and you know, stuff like what you did behind the scenes, I certainly appreciate, along with Jeff and Cullen and everybody else, and you know, with Deuce and Hoss and Steve, and also with Bobby J. So many people really listened in, and man, that. That goes to show you the interest in the NFL is at a rate that it's never been before. Never.
Second most watched draft ever, Mike, as you mentioned, behind 2020, which is when everyone was starved for any type of sports content during the COVID year. And so the fact that it's number two behind that is incredible. But to your point as well, last year was the star-studded draft. Last year was all the quarterbacks and all the receivers and all the flashy players. Mike, it was up 11% from last year with 13.6 million viewers on round one, that Thursday night coverage. So it was up from last year 11%, and then day two, which was rounds two and three, up 48% versus 2024. And then day three's coverage, rounds four through seven, up 43% from 2024. So yes, like up across the board. But specifically, the one that's most surprising to me is how much people or how many people tuned in to day one's coverage when, as you mentioned, it wasn't a super like star-studded draft like it was last year, but still more people tuned in than last year. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and goes to show you the power of the National Football League. And, you know, and some people choose not to watch it anymore. And, hey, listen, that's your preference if you don't want to watch it or not. But, my God, they got a lot of people listening to it and a lot of people watching it. And so, you know, it is – the powerhouse in sports today in America. There's nothing close to it, Charlie. The 5,000 pound King Kong in the 1,000 pound cage. I mean, they're shaking it from one end to the other, and it's amazing the interest in the NFL draft. And I could say the same thing, you know, as we get a little bit closer into it. College football is the clear cut number two in America. How many people, they love to talk about college football, and despite, you know, everything that's changing and all this other stuff, it is an unbelievable circumstance to watch with NIL and transfer portal, the interest in college and pro football just amazes me today.
Yeah, and the NFL also included this in their press release at the very back end to kind of prove your point, Mike. NFL games ranked as 90 of the top 100 telecasts during the 2024 season. So, you know, we'll see what that number is for 2025 as well, Mike.
Ain't that a kicker? Across the board. When we come back, we'll have on with us former Louisville star quarterback, Chris Redmond. Chris also played in the National Football League. He'll tell us, in watching Tyler Shuck, his opinion on how well he'll do in the National Football League right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelle along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Former standout quarterback at Louisville, played in the National Football League, Chris Redmond. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, happy to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Chris, from what you saw from Tyler Shuck last year, kind of give me an evaluation. I mean, you were a great quarterback at Louisville, got a chance to play in the National Football League. Everybody makes a big thing about his age. To me, man, if you can play and you're 25 or 26, I don't care. You know, if you can, the way athletes can extend their careers today of 10, 11, 12 years, if you're the right guy, it really doesn't matter. So give me your evaluation of what you saw from Tyler Shuck last year and watching your alma mater at Louisville.
Well, I totally agree with you. And the most quarterbacks that I know, that's their prime years is 20. I mean, that's kind of when you want the best years of your career. And so I think it's a good time, especially, you know, in a situation like that where you could probably come in and play pretty early. He was only at Louisville 1 year, came in from Texas Tech, but man, what a hard worker. My neighbor is his agent, so I know, you know, all the little things that he does right. And Coach Prom has just touted him so much and really groomed him his final year in college to get him, prepare him for, you know, that National Football League. And he knows how to do it. He's had so many guys come underneath him. And obviously him being a former NFL player too, he knows how to get these guys prepared. So I think you guys are getting a great quarterback, a hard worker, team guy. I know one thing, he wants to be there. He can report it's at a certain day. He's going to be there early, a couple of days early, and get situated. So his mind is right, and you're not going to have to worry about any off field type of situations at all. He's just a good guy. He's mature. He's married now. Like, he's just he's got his priorities set, and he wants to come in and help the ball team win. I know for a fact when he came into Louisville, he's like, we got to get this team going and get this team, you know, together in the locker room, not just on the field with throwing passes, making completions, but bringing a group together. And that's where I think his maturity will really help him, you know, in the National Football League. So I think you're getting a great quarterback at the right time.
Chris, you talked so much about his intangibles, but his on-field traits, maybe give me a couple of them that really stuck out to you in watching him last season at Louisville.
You know, I was actually talking to Matt Ryan, played golf with Matt Ryan not too long ago, and we were talking about him, and I said, hey, you know, he's got, he reminds me, both of us said the same thing, he reminds me of a quarterback back in the day. The way it comes off his hand, it reminds a little bit of, it may be an unfair criticism, but Joey Harrington was a guy that was very in high regards for me and Matt when he came into Atlanta. Just the way the ball comes off his hand, he's just got a unique spin. You could just tell he can really, really spin it. And he's sneaky athletic too, like moving in the pocket. He's going to run some touchdowns and get what he needs to get. And he had a couple of injuries, but they were kind of freak injuries. And one is, you know, one was like an illegal tackle in the NFL anyway, so he got injured on that. So like I don't think the injury prone is really going to be his thing at all. I think he's he's going to really excel. And so I love the way he throws the ball, makes good decisions. You know, he can stand in there and take some hits and still deliver the throw with very a lot of accuracy. So I really think that he does a lot of the little things that it takes to be an NFL quarterback, especially late in the game. You know, you're going to need guys on third down to make plays and in the pocket and making big time throws. And I think he's your guy. I'm not saying he's a you know, I hate to say this, but a Drew Brees 2.0 is potentially is what this guy could be, and I think he's in the right place, and that's high regards, and that's a lot of respect I have for him.
Chris, playing in the NFL like you did, the ability to process out on the field on where to go with the football, that's different from college. I mean, you might go one read, second read, but man, in the NFL, it's coming at you at warp speed. And so how would you regard his ability to process what he sees downfield and getting it to the right receiver?
Yeah, you know, I think when you get to the National Football League, you know, your windows are just smaller. You know, like the guys on defense are very fast, but so are the guys on offense. But I think what makes the elite quarterbacks are the guys that make the accurate throws under, you know, pressure with people in your face. And, you know, your focus is so much on those safeties and where, you know, your responsibility that, you know, you just kind of get really dialed in on what you need to do and get the job done. And some guys can do that and some guys can. I think this guy has got the ability to do that. And there's a reason that he went in the second round and he was drafted above some guys that a lot of people didn't think he was, because people, you know, got to really see him. And, you know, I think they have a lot of excitement around him. And he may be one of the, you know, the top guys in that class that could really excel and get a team into the playoffs and be relative to win a Super Bowl.
Chris, when we talked with Tyler himself, he mentioned the age thing and that a lot of these quarterbacks are playing well into their 30s and their peak is in their late 20s and stuff like that. And he mentioned other kind of pro-ready quarterbacks that came out last year, like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, that had long collegiate journeys before making it to the NFL. And so that's kind of the formula that he wants to follow and emulate. But one thing as well, that when we talked with Sam Bruckhaus, who's a data analyst for Sumer Sports, he mentioned the best thing about Tyler Shuck, outside of his arm talent, outside of his athleticism, his ability to minimize negative plays, that he doesn't take sacks. He always will take, you know, an incompletion over, you know, a negative play. And that's something that the Saints offense really struggled with last year. And that's a really good point of bringing him in.
Oh, I 100%. I think he is he's going to get you in the right protection. A lot of times, you know, those sacks are typically, you know, if you're not in the right protection against the right defense, he's going to get you in the right protection, make sure that everyone's blocked up and give yourself the best opportunity to sit in there as long as possible and make a good accurate throw. So like that experience playing a long time, being on different teams, being able to come into a team that's what's a bunch of new guys. Well, that's what he's doing this year. He's coming into a team with 100% new guys on the roster that you got to come in, be a leader. And, you know, it helps that he's married. I mean, shoot, this guy's, you know, you're coming home to a wife, and you know, I think that too, you know, there's a guy that you know, his responsibilities are going to be really devoted to, you know, football and some of the other stuff that comes along with the NFL. Is, you know, those are some struggles that are tough, and this guy's going to be just really dialed into football and helping this team succeed. So I think you got a good one. I can't say enough about the guy. I'm really excited for him, and I think he's going to have a long career. And you know, I think it's going to be a trend. You're going to see older quarterbacks entering in the league. I would have much rather been in the league my first couple of years, and you know, at an older age. You're just more mature as a person, and obviously as a quarterback.
Chris, he wasn't the only Louisville player taken by the Saints. They picked Quincy Riley to cover cornerback. I don't know how much you got a chance to really scrutinize his play, but, you know, he's not the biggest guy around, but great speed, and you can see his instincts to track the football quickly in flight. So anything you can add to us about Quincy Riley, the cover cornerback, who I think he'll play the nickel quickly for the Saints. I think that's where they probably project him early.
Yeah, you got a sneaky, great player. I don't think people realize how good of a player this guy is. And you say instincts, you're exactly right. This guy's gonna make the right read and know when to gamble and when not to gamble. And I think that's a perfect nickel back that can come in there and handle the slot and know when he can to make those big type of plays and interceptions against some of those slot receivers. I think is vital for any defense now, especially as you know the type of quarterbacks are in this league right now. You have to have those kind of guys that 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 have a lot of speed, and speed kills. I mean, I've seen some of the best cornerbacks and nickelbacks I've seen, you know, are really fast and tough guys, and that's exactly what you got in Quincy. So I think I think a heck of a draft. I think it's the sky's the limit for New Orleans. And I was a Falcons player, but man, I can see a lot of great things happening down there in New Orleans. So I'm excited for you guys.
We'll have Charlie mute that Falcons part out of it, but all is good now. Chris, we had Archie Manning on yesterday, and Archie had told me the story, Mike, how the draft has changed so dramatically, how it's covered. Archie's like, I was in school. They came get me out of class, and they brought me to the offices. I got a phone call from the owner, and I talked to the head coach, and then I went right back to class. He said, you know, watching what Peyton and Eli went through, he said, it's just unreal. Kind of give us your draft day moment, because you got picked in round 3 of the draft. But, man, how much coverage is on this from radio to television. It's remarkable how they've turned this 3-day event. It's an extravaganza and basically a showcase moment for the National Football League.
It really is. I mean, it's, you know, it just shows how far the NFL has come and how it's a year long sport for everybody that they get so involved in. And draft day for me was kind of a bad taste. I mean, I was hoping to go in late first round, and my agent said, you know, latest you go be early second. And so, you know, I was waiting on the wings. I guess, you know, not like Shadur had to endure, but like it was close. And I remember that feeling of, man, what's going on? What did I do? You know, and it was rough. And I ended up stopped watching it and just went to the driving range close to my house and hitting balls. And next thing you know, I get called from Baltimore. And but it was a frustrating day. And I can't imagine when, you know, the camera's right in your face the whole time. And it's that's a tough spot to be. And every year there seems like there's that one or two guys who have had that bad experience. And I know kind of how that is, and it's disappointing, but, you know, also gives you a chip on your shoulders. And like, you know, ask Tom Brady if that didn't motivate him to be, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So like, you know, that there's not to say you don't know how, you know, what's going to happen in your, you know, football life, and what's going to be the thing that gets you to play your best. And so sometimes negative things can end up being a positive in the long run. So we'll just kind of have to see what happens.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really enjoyed the conversation. We're going to have you back, and we'll talk quarterback talk around the National Football League and college football. And man, how 7-on-7 has changed the world, hasn't it? I mean, you see
Absolutely.
The growth of these quarterbacks, and a lot of it having to do with 7-on-7 from junior high school up into the high school ranks.
Absolutely. 7-on-7 is a great way of foundation for some of these quarterbacks, and they get very comfortable in the gun, and you learn, you know, your timing on how fast you need to get that ball out. And so I'm a big believer.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Chris Redmond, former Louisville star quarterback, played in the National Football League, and you heard him say, hey, he had a little journey with the Dirty Birds out in Atlanta and played also with the Ravens. And so, man, great evaluation from Chris, and, man, glowing terms about Tyler Shuck. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, one of our favorite guests, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And Kelsey, when I read that they were going to renovate RFK Stadium, I thought immediately about you. Growing up, I remember RFK was rocking, and George Allen was the coach back then, and they had the over-the-hill gang, and they did get to the Super Bowl, didn't win it, and then after George left, a few seasons kind of mata-mata, then all of a sudden, Joe Gibbs hits town. And you talk about a place that was deafening. I was talking to Bobby about this. He was like, man, for an outdoor stadium, it was so loud, and they would hit on, you know, the bottom part of that stadium stadium, and it kind of shook like an old stadium used to shake at the bottom when things were going right for the then Washington Redskins. And so tell everybody, it kind of got lost a little bit in the news because of the draft and the coverage of it, but won't be too much longer, and we'll have a new RFK Stadium in Washington.
Yeah, Mike, you know, you touched on the nostalgia and excitement that's happening right here in Washington. I don't think I've ever talked to a past Washington player that didn't tell me how RFK Stadium would feel. You could literally, like you said, feel it shaking. But I think there's a lot of excitement in town. Now, D.C. is political, so there's a lot of viewpoints and a lot of opinions. But the press conference held yesterday at the National Press Club, right, one of the most iconic places for journalism in the heart of downtown D.C., for the team to announce this. And I will say a lot of Washington, D.C. natives, people born and bred in the area, they've been waiting for this moment. You know, it took me back to how Maria Bowser opened the press conference, Mike. She said, you know, promise made, and the crowd responded, promise kept. So this is something, you know, that she, you know, as a Washingtonian, native Washingtonian, had promised, somebody who knows what that culture is. And I always tell folks, Mike, D.C. is a football town. The burgundy and gold bleed here. And, you know, for so long, you know, it kind of got lost when the team wasn't playing as well. But with the excitement of last season and in this excitement and counting down to, you know, 2030, it's great. You know, it's so great to see Doug Williams in attendance and Daryl Green, right? We're talking about icons, you know, of the gridiron, and, you know, folks like Brian Mitchell on the radio here in D.C., you know, getting a chance to talk about it. So I think you're exactly spot on. I think people are excited about the team, but everyone's just worried about the cost, Mike. Like any time, right, a stadium conversation is brought up, you know, in any city, and taxpayers and all that type of stuff. I think once you get past the politics of the deal, true football fans want the team back in Washington. They know it belongs in Washington. And now they feel like, you know, what they've been waiting for is finally, feels like the first time it's coming. And I'll see even more exciting. A lot of folks are talking about the potential dome on that stadium when that rendering came out, thinking about even bigger events that could be held at the stadium just beyond football, because D.C. is really trying to be a place that gets international events. You know, we have FIFA Club World Cup coming here to Audi Field this year. And potentially if this stadium deal goes through, if it's approved by the council, right, 7 out of 12 members being able to approve it. There's also just excitement about what other large sporting events could potentially come here to Washington, D.C.
Kelsey, you mentioned Doug Williams and Brian Mitchell. I'm going to let you answer it. Guess where they grew up in?
Oh, my gosh. You already know. The home. Louisiana. It was intentional I mentioned their names, right? And you talk about Louisiana, another place, you know, where football is embedded into the culture. But, you know, fans, again, were just so excited to see the smiles, you know, on these faces, again, of gridiron greats here that played in Washington. I think that's what folks are really excited about. And, you know, something this ownership group, Mike, has gotten praised on is their treatment of the alumni and really valuing alumni opinions. And so Josh Harris and company, I think this is just another check mark, you know, on this ownership group, again, kind of doing what fans have wanted for a long time in Washington.
Kelsey, you know, and I agree with you on Josh Harris, because Dan Snyder, I can say this is 40 years for me. I haven't heard one person tell me anything real positive about Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
But to see what happens with Josh Harris. But, you know, Josh Harris, one thing him and his family have to do every year, and that's send a Christmas present and card to Jaden Daniels. He sort of changed the world in Washington.
He did. He brought hope back to Washington. I agree. I would say every holiday, really, they should be sending a gift to Jaden Daniels. And again, Jaden Daniels is truly one of the most popular people here in Washington. So I thought the timing of this was perfect, right? After a historic season for this franchise, you know, for this news to come, it's like the up and up for the Commanders. I'm telling you, between the Capitals, obviously, who are doing well, and who are, you know, have a big fan base here in Washington just because of their play, and Alex Ovechkin, the top team right now, even though the Capitals are, you know, again, being talked about, it's definitely the Commanders, and I can't tell you how many JD5 fans there are here in D.C.
Kelsey, a little bit about the draft with the Commanders, because everybody asks about. Now, you know, people watch Cincinnati today because of Joe Burrow. Now they're keeping up with the Commanders because of Jaden Daniels. A little bit about their draft. They went big man early with Josh Connerly for protection there. But how'd you feel overall they were able to fare out in the 3-day draft situation?
Yeah, you know, I think attacking the linebacker spot, round 6, you know, the linebacker is something we talked about here in Washington, seems like for the longest time, Mike, you know, so always wanting to shore up that spot, making sure, I think Washington really looking to make sure they had some speed there. When you look at the guys who will be starting, you know, getting some depth behind them. And I think the other thing, Washington really looking at depth, and I think that was what was kind of exciting, I think, for the team going into this draft, is that they were able to add, you know, depth into kind of currently the needs that they have. The cornerback spot, we talk a lot about the secondary here in Washington, right? So Trey Amos also getting a lot of conversation here because that being kind of a spot that Washington, not just fans, but right, journalists and everybody talking about, if Washington's able to shore up the secondary, this is a team that could get back to what they did last season and potentially, right, get to that Super Bowl spot. You know, Washington really is, Mike, being talked about a true threat in the NFC East, wanting to build off of last season. But, you know, it's funny we're talking about the draft because I can't tell you, I think it's gotten lost here in Washington because all everybody wants to talk about, Mike, is the stadium deal and the team coming back. And like you said, Jaden Daniels. So, you know, I hope these guys do get their fair share. There was a great draft party this weekend held at National Harbor here in D.C. So, again, folks excited about them. But I think last year's draft is still on the high, right, because Jaden Daniels delivered, you know, as a first rounder. And now I think these guys get to come in. These young guys get to come in. You talked about Jess Connerly, Trey Amos, but they're coming into a fan base that's excited. They're coming into a fan base where there's veteran leadership and veteran presence. You know, but again, I think Jess Connerly is probably the one being talked about the most, because as you talk about Jaden Daniels, everybody is talking about protection, right, for him, being able to continue on. So again, the draft picks being talked about here in Washington, but maybe not as much just because there's a lot of good things right now happening with this football team. You mentioned Dan Snyder, and I don't think we're used to so many nice things, Mike, happening all at one time for this Washington franchise. So again, it's just rewriting the culture, you know, starting a new history and keeping on the right track and foot for this Washington franchise.
Kelsey, you mentioned Trey Amos, and I'm a big Trey Amos fan because he's a former UL Raging Cajun, my alma mater. So he started there before going to Alabama, then Ole Miss this past year, where he was a first-team All-SEC member in 2024. Your thoughts on Trey Amos, the second straight year that Washington's used a second-round pick on a cornerback. Last year was Mikey Samer still from Michigan. This year, Trey Amos, and how they're kind of building that, I guess, secondary from the ground up with this draft capital.
Yeah, you know, Mike gets a lot of love here in D.C., especially after his play. And I think everyone thinks he's on the up and up. Jonathan Jones being another one talked about here in Washington. A guy that we've talked about on this show, right? Marshawn Lattimore also being talked about in Washington. But I think, again, Washington wanting to make sure on defense that they can shore up. That was a sore spot at times for Washington last season. And, again, this is a team that's going into the season on a high. There's a lot of positives being talked about. But I think Trey Amos, again, in terms of depth as, and when you think about injuries and stuff like that can happen over a season, there is a chance for him, I think, to make a true impact. You know, again, I think what his experience, I think this is a guy that Washington fans, true football fans, are experienced with, but I do think he will fare well here in Washington. And again, I think this is just another nod on the leadership of Adam Peters, really understanding what Washington needs, the tools and pieces, to really, again, continue to be a true contender when we think about the National Football League season upcoming.
Yeah, those Louisiana guys, they know a little bit of stuff about
just playing football. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
No, they're favorites here. I will tell you, there's a lot of excitement, sorry, Mike, just about guys that come from the South here to Washington. They usually fare pretty well here.
They sure do. Last question for you. Were you surprised a little bit that some team didn't hire Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach? Because I know there are some pretty prominent people that really thought a lot of Cliff and thought, you know, hey, he'll deserve a second shot at this in the NFL. And he did a great job with Jaden Daniels you know, kind of easing that gap between college football and the NFL. It's rare that you can see a first-year quarterback play like what Daniels did. I mean, he looked like a seasoned veteran. That really shocked me, but it surprised me just how good he was and how consistent he was throughout his rookie season.
Yeah, I think when you see Cliff in Washington, I think it's just a testament, Mike, honestly, to what the ownership, the leadership in Washington, to everyone believing in what Washington is building. Like, I can't tell fans how long it's been since, you know, it's really felt like Washington could potentially get back to the top level in the National Football League. And so I think Cliff knows he's got the right guy. If there's anyone I'm going to bet on the National Football League, Jaden Daniels would definitely be one of those guys, especially when it comes to the quarterback spot. And I mean, look at the draft that we just had. What was the top thing talked about, right? The quarterback. And so I think he knows he has a good guy. I think he knows Washington's offense is on the up and up. So I think there were some people that thought, okay, we might lose him. You know, obviously he should get lots of nods and lots of looks. But I think it goes back again to what everyone's talking about here in Washington, culture, what's being built. Everyone buying it. You know, Dan Quinn talks about the team aspect in Washington. So I think everyone doesn't just say it, Mike. It's a true feeling in that locker room. It's just true feeling throughout that organization. And everyone really seeing that Washington is a team that everyone's going to have to look out for.
Kelsey, embrace that Jaden Daniels. Because, listen, he don't come along, you know, every 10 years
He is cherished.
He is.
I think the fans watch him like his mom. Very, very talented.
My thing is this: don't let him get away unless he comes to the Saints.
I can look. If I said that on air, the Washington fans would not let me back. So they definitely would not want that to happen. But again, I think everyone's truly excited about what Jaden Daniels offers, what he brings, and this upcoming Commanders football season.
Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us. Always our pleasure to have you on. Always do a great job, and appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you all so much. Great to join you all, and have a great one. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you, Kelsey. Kelsey Nicole Nelson does a great job not only covering the Commanders out in Washington, also covers the Ravens, covers the NBA team in Washington. Oh, Charlie, that ain't too good either.
Hey, man, they're going to be counting lottery balls in a couple days just like us.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Chris Redman for joining us and also Kelsey Nicole Nelson. At 5:20, we'll have Zach Nagy talking LSU baseball. And, man, recruiting never stops in football. They got a big recruit yesterday. Let's see if they can hold on to him, a California cornerback right outside of Los Angeles. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.